Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Brian Kroll, the PGA Director of Golf at Osiris Country Club in Orange County, New York, Walden, New York. And Brian, what a pleasure to have you on the show. I've always admired your work.
Oh, Ann, this is a treat for me. Good friends for years, but I've never had the chance to be with you on the air. So this is awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I've been on your show on PGA Tour Sirius Radio on course with you and your buddy, Frank Darby. So, you know, and you're a golf commentator for a variety of networks. I just really enjoyed hearing your work at the PGA Championship and at the Masters. And you and Jason Bone were following Brooks Koepka's featured group for a bit there. And I got to tell you, I was reading up on, you know, your new position at Osiris Country Club and what you've been doing of late. And I had no idea that you were actually doing that broadcast from the pro shop at Osiris. That's unbelievable. You would never have known.
Oh, thank you. Isn't that cool? I mean, the whole world obviously going through some challenge right now, and everybody's changing their thoughts and strategies for broadcasting. And I think the remote broadcasting has been a huge success for the most part. We're all trying to figure out the changes, but to be able to conduct the show from the pro shop here at Osiris Country Club and give the members a little something that most clubs don't get a chance to see, and bring ESPN and ESPN Plus right here to Orange County, it was a thrill, and we all got a kick out of it.
How did you and ESPN Plus manage to pull that off?
Well, there's tons of planning. I give the folks at ESPN so much credit. There were a lot of trips out here to check the strength of the system and the Wi-Fi and the internet, and then we had a number of rehearsals and practices to get used to the delay out to the West Coast, and just meetings with producers and directors. But it all came down to a fantastic week out there at TPC Harding Park, and all that prep work paid off. And I have to hand it to the programming crew and the production staff. They just did a great job, and it really came off pretty much without a hitch. So it was a treat to be a part of that team.
Do you think all these alterations, Brian, that we as broadcasters have to make during these COVID-19 months will perhaps change the way we broadcast in the future?
I think this is the start of a whole new way of life when it comes to broadcasting major championships and broadcasting sports in general and beyond sports. I think the media companies are realizing, hey, with a little work and some effort and preparation, these broadcasts can be done remotely quite nicely. And I think this was sort of a historic major championship, and I feel very proud to be a part of this great team at ESPN, and CBS was a huge part of it as well, especially on the weekend. But you're seeing new things. You're seeing a major championship without fairways lined with spectators, and there's a whole different type of infrastructure. But I think the media companies are realizing, you know what, this might change things for the better in the long run. They can now consider all sorts of different remote opportunities and components that I don't think they even thought of in years past. So this could lead to really a whole new wave of broadcasting sports on television.
Right. You don't have to leave your home, and you don't have to leave the country club, obviously.
That's right. I can still be here with the members of my club. I mean, that's great.
Well, I'll tell you where I'll be covering the U.S. Open tennis and perhaps the U.S. Open golf, although Wingfoot hasn't made their decisions yet on, you know, which media will be on the premises. But I will be in my home, in my office, watching it all on TV, you know, covering the U.S. Open Tennis Championships, and probably the same for the U.S. Open Golf. So, I don't know if it's something that I want to get used to, because I actually love being on site at the venues. I think, obviously, you know, yes, we are watching a large majority of the the matches and you know the golf on television, but you know being right on the premises obviously adds, I think, a lot to the broadcast.
There does, and there's no real substitute for being there and feeling the excitement and being able to go out and walk the fairways and feel the conditions for yourself. But again, in our case, we had Ned Michaels, who was our on-course commentator out there at TPC Harding Park. So he gave us all the feels and the smells and the sounds that we couldn't get from our remote locations. And at least to have one member of each team there on the grounds, I think covers that base. But personally, I'm like you, Ann. I love to be there. I love to feel the action and actually walk the golf course myself or walk among the different matches at the U.S. Open Tennis. It makes a difference when you're right there and a part of the action, but I think we're doing the best we can.
I have just one criticism overall of the at least the early rounds of the PGA Championship, and you know obviously I wanted to see Brooks Koepka and a lot of other players. Brooks obviously going for the three-peat at that point, but if you watch the overall telecast, there was so much emphasis on Tiger, and that always seems to be the case. And yes, do I want to see Tiger hit the ball? Absolutely. I definitely want to see Tiger, but I don't want to see just Tiger. So, you know, I just think TV tends to dominate their coverage with Tiger when overall, and I'm not just talking about one network, I think just overall, I think everybody really overdoes it with the Tiger coverage, and you really want to see the whole tournament.
Well, listen, I agree with you, and I think to a certain extent, they're giving the masses what they want. Tiger Woods, as we all know, is bigger than most athletes out there in the world, and just makes such a difference. But what I love about this day and age is the opportunity to see more of the action than we've ever been able to before. And for the PGA Championship with ESPN Plus coverage of featured groups, you could see every shot of Phil Mickelson's the entire week, which is fantastic. The same with the Masters. The
Sure.
Masters provides shot-by-shot coverage. If you want to watch one player and how his entire round unfolds, you can see all the action you want. And I think a lot of folks, nothing against network television because I love it and I think CBS did a great job, but if you want to hone in on other parts of the championship and see different players and how they're progressing, you have those opportunities now, and there are so many platforms to enjoy these major championships on. So, you know, I think it's a nice addition that television has now with all these digital platforms. We can follow action that we could never follow in the past.
Absolutely. That is all that is an innovation in the coverage for sure. You know, when we're at the Masters, we can go on our monitor and we can pick one player, and I'm sure the audience can too, right? And just follow that one player the entire time and know exactly, you know, what that person did on every single hole. It's just crazy. Anyway, how did you get your start in golf, Brian, and then in broadcasting? How did you get your start?
Well, the funny thing is, Ann, I'm here at Osiris Country Club, and this was actually the club where I played my first 18 holes of golf. My dad and my grandparents actually sunk coffee cans into the backyard all around the house, and we would play golf to these makeshift greens around our property when I was a young kid. And my grandmother ultimately bought me a junior membership here at Osiris Country Club in the Met section of the PGA, and the rest is history, as they say. I just always loved the sport, and to be able to continue to help people enjoy golf is it's a thrill. It really is. I feel like I'm helping people enjoy their time, and golf, of course, is the most benevolent of all sports. So from a charity standpoint, and you know this, Anne, from running your event, you can raise so much money through golf for causes that really need help. So I just love being a part of this sport, and that's kind of what drives me in the golf business.
Well, you have an incredible broadcast voice. Did you really have to work on that, or is it all natural?
You know what? I'm giving the credit to mom and dad. I think there are just some good DNA that I was blessed with, and my father had such a powerful voice too, and I'm lucky to be able to have a voice that people appreciate on the air. So thank you, Ann, for that. And the funny thing was, I was at the time at Leawood Golf Club conducting a charity outing, and I was welcoming everyone to the club. There were 120 people out in front of me, and I was having fun with them, telling them how easy the hole locations are today, how great a day they're going to have. And after the round, one of the players in the outing came up to me and said, basically, what are you doing in a couple months? Because I'd like you to be in the tower for USA Network and broadcasting at the Greater Greensboro Chrysler Classic on the PGA Tour. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. But this is another example of, you just never know who's out there in the audience. You could be at the right place at the right time, but that opportunity led to a number of other opportunities. And now I'm blessed to be working with CBS and ESPN and Sirius XM. So right place at the right time. And I really enjoy the opportunities.
Yeah, you just sound terrific. Well, let's talk about some of the guys on the PGA Tour, Brian. What do you think makes PGA Championship winner Colin Morikawa so good? I mean, he's only 23, just incredible.
That is a great question. And the first thing that comes to mind, believe it or not, is Dr. Rick Sessinghouse, his longtime friend and coach. And Rick is a PGA member and has worked a great deal, not on just Colin's move and Colin's swing, but on the Morikawa approach to golf. And he is one of the most sound players from a mental standpoint that I've seen in a long time. And there are comparisons, Anne, I think, with a young Tiger Woods and the amount of focus that this young man has. And under the gun, what he did coming down there 16, 17, and 18 on Sunday was just incredible. My heart was beating. I felt nervous, and I was on the other side of the country in a pro shop. But how he controlled his nerves down the stretch is really a testimony to not just him, but his entire team. And Dr. Rick Sessinghouse, an incredible component for Colin to fall back on, and really had him prepared for that mentally. It was incredible. Fun to watch.
It was really fun to watch. And I think we have a new shot heard around the world, his drive on the par 4 16th, which left him that 7-foot putt for eagle, which he drained. My goodness, people are going to be talking about that for a long time, don't you think?
Oh, that was absolutely incredible. And, you know, the one thing that still breaks my heart is you hit a shot like that, and there would have been such a roar, and there's one volunteer clapping off to the side, and then he sinks the putt for a 2 on that par 4, and it just would have been deafening, the sounds there. But it is it's a different age, and you know, not to take anything away from the PGA Championship at all, but this was kind of historic in that there were these incredible moments that are going to be etched in history. And for the first time ever, there are not golf holes surrounded by spectators going nuts. So it's going to be an interesting look back at a great championship.
Sure. And maybe it's easier, you know, no major is easy, but not to deal with the pressure of the spectators. You know, you can just kind of focus on your own game. And in the back of your mind, you're knowing that it's being televised and millions of viewers, but the people aren't right there. So maybe in some weird way, it makes it less pressure for some of these players.
Yeah, I think so. And I think players like Morikawa, who haven't had to deal with huge throngs of fans and spectators as much in his young career,
sure,
might have had a touch of an advantage there. I will say this. I was speaking with Jason Bone during the broadcast of the event, and we were commenting on how when there's not tons of spectators, the players do become very aware of just one or two movements that otherwise would have been absorbed in a sea of fans. So you've got one writer 30 yards away who drops a clipboard, all of a sudden that is a massive sound for these players that they never had to deal
Right.
with. It was all washed out in the past, and they become much more aware of little sounds throughout the day. So in the terms of a Jason Bone, a tour player, he would say, you know, those little sounds all of a sudden become sort of important during the round versus being absorbed by general white noise. So it's a different way to think about it.
Right, interesting. Well, there is certainly a new generation of incredible talent out there, from Morikawa to Matthew Wolff, Victor Hovland, Scottie Scheffler. What do you think of these young guys?
It used to seem like you needed years and years and years out on tour before you became seasoned and ready to win, let alone win a major championship. And those days have clearly changed. I remember when Phil Mickelson was trying desperately for his first major championship. You remember that, Ann. And he went through so many years of trying and trying and finally got to the point where he pulled it off. But there does seem to be a different level of confidence these days. These young guns are coming out there and they're looking to win right out of the gate. They're not looking to get experience so that they're ready in a couple of years. I mean, it's a different breed, and I give them a lot of credit. I'm not bitter about it. I just think they are better prepared to get to the winner's circle and hoist that trophy than ever before, and I think the veterans know that.
Absolutely, and mentally they're just so composed at such an early age. It's incredible. Well, let's talk about Brooks Koepka, because he's so compelling to me on and off the course. He is brutally honest and says things sometimes that get him a lot of attention, a lot of controversial statements. And what did you think about his comments the evening before the final round at the PGA Championship about Dustin Johnson only winning one major, and then the quote about, "I don't know a lot of other guys up there"? I know a couple of days later, he said he meant that he was only looking at the guys ahead of him on the leaderboard, like DJ, not the guys behind him. And of course, he knows the other guys, but he expressed some regret for what he said. I think it might have come out wrong or it was mistaken, but still, I mean, he's not one to hold back his opinions.
Certainly not. I do think there are times when Brooks wishes he thought through his answer a little bit before he gave it. I think he's a polarizing figure out there. I think there's tons of respect for his ability. There's tons of respect for what he's done and what he continues to do. But he does have this brash way about him that kind of turns some people off. For him to show that type of disrespect, many people felt, of saying, "I don't really know who these guys are," or "Who is that Dustin Johnson? I think he only has one major championship." You know, very, very subtle shots at these guys. And I'm not sure if it's sort of a shot at the media or even asking the question, or if it's a way Brooks builds himself up and gives him a stronger sense of confidence going into the next round. But either way, people either get a kick out of it and say, "Oh, that's Brooks," or they're like, "You know what? I can't wait to go out and beat that guy." And in this case, he got a little dose of medicine here, a little humble pie after all of that, and drifted back off the first couple pages.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounded like he was more concerned about the fact that he couldn't back up his comments with a win, and he regretted that more than obviously he regretted saying some of that stuff. But Rory reacted with a defense, you know, toward DJ, saying, you know, it's sort of hard to knock a guy who's got 21 wins on the PGA Tour, which is three times what Brooks has. So he's gotten a lot of these other guys kind of involved as well. And I don't know, it can't be great for a guy who's trying to go out there and focus on winning championships, although he makes it sound like, you know, he has thick blood and thick skin and, you know, he's just going to go out there and ignore all these distractions. But if you start causing these kind of distractions by things that you've said, it can't help the cause.
He's an interesting guy. He really is. So far, so good. It didn't pay out at TPC Harding Park, but it has so much in the past. He does seem to build his momentum when the cards are stacked against him. He finds reasons to fire himself up. And this may have been one of those. I'm not exactly sure. But, yeah, it turns a lot of people off. And he has that bully in the playground feeling to him. And there are people that get a little turned off by that and don't like the cockiness. You know, there's confidence and then there's cocky and disrespectful. And sometimes I think he sneaks a little too close to the ladder and people get a little turned off. So we'll see. I don't expect him to change. That's kind of his style. He's certainly not looking to be loved out there. He's looking to win major championships. And in terms of 21 victories on tour, I think Brooks probably looks at each major he's won and figures that's about worth 21 right there.
Oh, absolutely. When it comes to major championships, he's always my pick just based on the four that, you know, that he's won, the four that I've covered watching him win. I just can't bet against them. We're talking to Brian Kroll, the PGA Director of Golf at Osiris Country Club, golf commentator extraordinaire. How about Tiger Woods, Brian? I don't know, your thoughts on him. He shot a final round 67 at the PGA Championship, tied for 37th. He simply isn't playing enough, in my opinion, to go out there and shoot four great rounds of golf in a major. I think he might be missing out on some opportunities. What are your thoughts about Tiger?
I have to agree with you, and I think he showed a lot of resolve this past week, and in many ways, I know it was a tie for 37th, but I was pretty impressed with how he held things together, and he performed great on Sunday. And, you know, it's never fair to call a major championship a tune-up, but I do think that that's the way he started to look at the PGA Championship after his second round. He made it in there. Made it to the weekend, but then I think he was more into, let's see how this whole atmosphere treats me. Remember, no one is feeling a bigger difference in major championship golf than Tiger Woods. He has to deal with hundreds of thousands of interactions and fans around him, and the whole look of the golf course is different to him. So if anyone has to make an adjustment in what they expect during the week of a major championship, it's Tiger Woods. And I think he gathered some great information and experience. And like you said, he got, you know, some more reps here on a weekend at a major championship. So I do think he needs to continue that trend and play more golf, play as much competitive golf as he can heading into the U.S. Open at Winged Foot. But I was pretty encouraged overall.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, he'll have great days and then he'll have mediocre days. And then after the PGA Championship, he tweeted out in quotes, "Well, that's golf. We lose way more tournaments than we win," end quote. And, you know, yes, that's true, but that doesn't sound too Tiger-like to me.
No, that sounds like a tweet that Brooks Koepka would be laughing aloud at. Just not the not the type of confidence we expect from someone like Tiger Woods. He is a different Tiger these days. I think he's more appreciative of the opportunities he has. But like we all know, Ann, those opportunities you know, are getting fewer and further between as he gets into the 40s here. So. I think you're right. I think he needs to spend more time getting out there and getting reps in competitive situations. And you can't just come out of the woodwork for a major and expect to contend, even if you're Tiger Woods.
Do you think this season, Brian, will have an asterisk on it because of COVID-19 and all the schedule changes? I mean, do you think maybe some players are somewhat writing this season off in preparation for hopefully a more normal season next year, or how are you looking at this season because of this pandemic?
Well, I'll answer that by saying that the players are still thinking of every single major championship as another major championship. It's not an asterisk to them. I think that Wanamaker Trophy means every bit as much this year as it does in any of the past years, and the same for the other major championships. So there's certainly an asterisk in terms of how history will look at this season, and hopefully it's the last season that we look at this way, because it is so different. And to be honest, I applaud golf. I applaud the PGA. I applaud everyone who's bringing major championship golf back to the world. Golf, I think, is a leader in these times.
Sure.
And I'm excited to be a part of that. Yeah, there's an asterisk, but I think it's more for the world in general. And I don't think the players see it that way. They see this as an opportunity to be etched in history with major championship victories. And I think because the season is compressed a little, and we've got these major championships coming in rapid succession here as we look all the way into April, when we've got a U.S. Open, we've got a Masters in November, then a Masters again in April. I think you get somebody with a hot hand. This is a great opportunity for these players to be competitive and keep the momentum going from one major to the next.
Oh, absolutely. What a time to get hot. You know, with all these
exactly. Things
condensed, right? I mean, you have the Masters in November, and then you have them, you know, then again 5 months later. And the Masters being staged in November, they just recently announced there will not be spectators there. What are your thoughts about that, Brian?
Remember, Anne, it's no patrons.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Uh-oh. You know, a little.
Masters that I've covered, I better get that right.
I think they're playing it safe. They're doing what they feel is best for the Masters and best for golf and best for the world. They look, the Masters, there's no group that looks further down the line than the folks at Augusta National. And I think they are very aware of history. They're very aware of the global impacts of the decisions they make. And I know they thought very carefully and long before making this decision. So I think keeping it as a patron-free tournament is something that they feel is what's best for everyone involved and the future of the game. So regardless, it's going to be incredible. I can't wait. And I think just like you and everybody else, can't wait to see what a Masters in November looks like.
Exactly. I can't wait either. Now, that depends on who's actually going to be there in person. You may be covering it from your pro shop again.
That's
you
right.
Never know. And I may be in my office at home. You just don't know yet. But anyway, last question, Brian, and I appreciate your time. What do you think have been the keys to your success? You seem to flow between, you know, directing golf operations to teaching golf to, I know you're on the board with me with the Metropolitan Golf Writers Association to golf announcing. You seem to do all this effortlessly. What's the key?
I think the key is preparation, Anne. I've always admired your work and how involved you are in so many things from different associations to running your charity events and your media broadcasting. It's all about balance. And a good friend of mine once said, sometimes you have to say no once in a while. And that's difficult for me. But she said, if you say no, that means you're saying yes to something else. And I'm blessed. I love what I do. And I think it's all about just giving it balance and remembering the things that really count. I can't do this without a great family and great friends and faith. You know, the three F's there are so important. And I think that just gives me more and more confidence as I try different things. I encourage everybody to try as much as you can. I mean, you only live once. You want to reach for as many things as you can and see if you can pull it off. But at the same time, there needs to be balance, and I keep trying to find the balance. And I don't know. I check myself every morning and say, am I on the right track? But it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, if you can share that with family and friends and the people that mean the most to you, then I think you're doing the right thing.
Brian, you are a pleasure, really. Thank you so much for joining us on Sports Interview, and I'm sure I'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. It was great to be on with you.